Amen. Then forever my soul would be lost. Can you calculate forever? No, you can't. God can. That's why he went to the cross. He did the numbers. They didn't match up. He wanted us with him forever. I want you to look up here for a second. No seed, no harvest. If you don't have what's on the left, you're not going to have corn. You're not going to have cornflakes. You're not going to have all kinds of stuff. And you can't butter up God to get it. Okay? Sad. No. No seed. No harvest. Today, as I said, is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And I want you all to know, which I think, I hope I've made clear, we do not believe in the murder of babies. Okay? We also do not believe in the murder of the mothers and those that carry guilt for a good long while. We want the Lord to heal people. We want God to restore lives. Person could have had an abortion 50 years ago. Do you know that? And it will still haunt you to this day if you haven't allowed God to heal it. It's really true. It's a gaping hole in your soul. And the sad part is most of the young girls that go in aren't told the truth. They're told it's a little tissue. They're not told it's a life. So they bear the brunt of it for the remainder of their life unless they get under the loving watch care of Jesus, which is what needs to happen. Okay, Dave's going to put up a picture up first part. Saw this, got this in, I don't know, some communication last year. I really liked it. It's a young girl, of course, underage, absolutely horrified that she's pregnant without benefit of marriage and all of that. And her first thought with her head down is, my mom's going to kill me. My mom's going to kill me. So very often they don't tell anyone because they sit there in shame. Now there's a second part of this picture, and it goes down to the abdomen where there's another voice speaking. It's not the mother's voice. This is the baby's voice. That says, my mom's going to kill me, meaning abortion. Ever since Eve's son, Abel, was murdered by his brother, blood has been speaking through the history of this world. Thankfully, the blood of Jesus answered it and said, I forgive. If you come to me, I will restore you. Because again, that baby that is aborted, go straight into the arms of God. Okay? That's the one great grace of God. So that child is protected forever. And we thank God for that. But on this day, since 1973, and it was, I went to the U.S. abortion clock, Friday's numbers, at the end of Friday, this is how many in the United States alone, 57,000. 538,369 have been aborted since then. Then I was reading another statistic, and it said from last year, somewhere in February 2014, that the abortion numbers were the lowest they've been in 40 years, which is good, except you got to assume some of that is RU486, the morning after pill, and other contraceptives. Some of those contraceptives are actually abortion. So be always very careful what people tell you. Some of them are. I was reading about the morning after pill, and it said that even though it's considered not abortion because there's no life there, it's a trying to keep the life from occurring. But that's still getting in the way of God, you know, to a point. But at any rate, particularly when they're not married. But It's talking about the embryo is prevented from being implanted on the uterine wall. I don't know about you, but that sounds like life to me. It doesn't matter the size, it matters life. Life starts from a small seed in every part of our history and our world. The word abort in biology matters says it's the arrest of the development of a seed, fruit, or other organ. The arrestment and the arrest of a development of a seed, which is basically what it is. It's trying to stop it. Now, a seed starts the preparation for life, doesn't it? If you have somebody coming to your house as a guest, how many have ever had a guest for a month and they stayed 5 years? Has that ever happened? You know? You can't treat them nice all the time, but at any rate. But someone's coming to your home for any length of time, what do? You prepare for them. You get a room ready. You make it home as much as you can for them. You want them to feel comfortable, right? You want all those things. There's a change in your household when somebody comes, no matter who it is. So, but that person that comes to stay with you is not owned by you. They're a guest, they're a blessing, hopefully, and such like that. But you don't own them. And one of the fallacies of the last 40 years has been, I'm a woman, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. Well, that means I can go murder somebody right now. I can go over and shoot Lil. Now, why would I do that? You know, we love her to pieces. If you get into the thing of it's my body, but remember, when that baby is in that womb and there's a seed there, that baby belongs to God first. He's the giver of life. He holds life and death. And it's important to remember the distinction. Because the truth is, the woman is more of a steward of the life of that child than the owner of it. It's not any kind of property. That's one of the things women have hated down through the centuries, that men and societies have made them property. So if you're not going to be, if you shouldn't be property, neither should your children. They should be a blessing. They should be a treasure. They should be somebody that God has given you this treasured life forever. Okay? So when the conception occurs, and they're still arguing over when actual life occurs, remember that? They say there's no life until they breathe outside of the womb. Well, I got news for them. When they're kicking, it's not a bad reflex. There's a life in there giving you the old one. One, two. And hopefully they kick in metered measures. But when conception occurs, the mother's body and her emotional center change. And you women, you know that. Some more than others. Some you don't want to talk to for a few months. Some works out a little bit better. But nonetheless, guess what? Your body knows there's life inside, even if someone's telling you it isn't. Your body is preparing for life. It's not preparing for death. And so when the baby, at whatever month of gestation, is terminated by choice, what happens? Well, they say 3,000 are killed each day. So that's a lot, isn't it, in the United States. But the mother in particular is left with a vacuum in her soul. I hope you pray for anybody that's had an abortion. Of course, they don't want to talk to people because they feel shame. But I still believe, for the most part, the woman has been lied to, and she did it out of desperation, and she doesn't think she can talk to anyone about it. The medical personnel, on the other hand, they know it's a body. They know there's life there. They see the arms and the legs. They see that body being torn apart. They have a lot to answer for, in my opinion. And I do pray for the doctors and those that are in the abortion mill, because they need to get saved. That's what needs to happen, and to understand what life is. So, now we also know that if a woman has a stillborn baby with medical problems, that the child dies, or any kind of other miscarriage, there's a great hole and vacuum in their life too. And so we pray for any woman that's had any loss of child. The difference here is that abortion is not an accident, it's by choice. And that's the distinction. But how many know the Lord can forgive for abortion? The Bible says there's only one sin that is not forgiven, and that is the sin against the Holy Spirit, which is when you take the work of the Holy Spirit and you ascribe it to the devil. That's the only thing that can't be forgiven. Anybody done that lately? Of course not. I wouldn't imagine. But that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about abortion. So, the definition of the word abortion in the Latin, abortio, or it comes from a word aborere, and it means to miscarry. That's what it originally meant. Ab means away from, and orere means to be born. I didn't put it on the word studies. Did everybody get a word study? Anybody need one? Because I always forget that. My mind leaves me the minute I walk in this place. But in our society, there's allowance in certain parts for first, second, and third trimester abortions, 91% of which happen in the first 12 weeks. 0.01 occur in the third trimester. Because again, they don't believe there's life until they exit the womb, when you actually breathe. Now, I have to take a little bit of something with that, because of the 0.01%, that basically amounts to about 100 of the 1.6 million each year. Jan and I were premature. We wanted to come out for Christmas. That was the real thing. Didn't get any gifts, though, but we did have a lovely suite in the incubator, I think. But we'd have been in the third trimester, and legally they could have killed us. I know, I'm very sad. They would have probably said, well, we'll take the first one. That second one, she looks kind of, We got to think better about that one. Ooh. But then she wouldn't be a twin. But God takes us very seriously. Any seed that does not come to its natural development. And mothers and fathers, and of course fathers are left out of it most of the time because they're not told a lot of times, probably there's a pregnancy. Or they leave town because they don't want to know about it. That happens too. And whatever the reasons are, people are left with guilt, but they don't know what to do with it. Because they think, I have offended God beyond all. My mother is just really upset. She's just... And they look through that window. So make sure you're keeping in prayer for somebody that's had an abortion. I want you to turn to Proverbs. This is not technically a verse about the sanctity of human life, but it is about hope. And you know when you have a seed that is supposed to grow and it doesn't reach its potential? You know what you have? A sickness of heart. That's what you have. You can have it in your life when plans you've made haven't been fulfilled. This didn't go right, or you lost a job here, or financial reversal, whatever the case is. You can have a loss of hope, and it happens quite easily, actually. Proverbs 13, 12th verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. You know, I'm so glad in the Proverbs and so much of the scripture, God balances it. He doesn't just leave it negative. How many are glad he has an answer beyond the negative? God is a positive God. And so he gives hope, and he gives a good definition of it here. Hope, the Hebrew word, means a hope or an expectation. That's why they call her an expectant mother. She's expecting something, someone. I never even liked it when they called them in it. You know, it's a he or a she. There's no other choice that I'm aware of. And it comes from another Hebrew word, yahal, which means to wait or await. Her body, the minute there's conception, that body is expecting something to come forth. It's preparing itself in every sense of the word. It says hope that is deferred, and that word mashach means to draw, to drag, extend, and postpone. It means to drag. It's like dragging the bottom of a river, and your hope is crushed when there's a dead body there. You ever come across a dead body? Yeah. Not particularly pleasant. And I want you to know also that if a prayer answer doesn't come, you can have the same feeling. How many have ever waited 25 years for a prayer? Abraham did. Was God faithful? You bet. And in the end, as the scripture also says, when the birth comes forth, the joy is so great you forget all about the pain. So when Dean comes to Christ, which he's going to, all the years you've been waiting are going to be worth it, because eternity is forever. And it's a long time for a mistake. So it says, hope that is deferred and dragged out, extended and postponed, and you never get that answer. You feel like you're not getting it. It sickens your heart. That Hebrew word means to beseech, which sounds kind of weird. But what it really means is your heart is made weak, and it's crying out because it's not getting the answer. Do you know you can be heart sick and not even know it? And I also want to tell you something, that in the whole text of God's word, it'll go from your spirit to your mind and emotions, and it'll touch your body. Anybody that keeps this type of thing inside or feels like some hope that they've looked to has been dashed, the insides begin to just pour down. They begin to rot. They begin to feel useless. Not that they are, but that's how you feel. And the heart cries out because there's a wound here. So the Lord in his infinite wisdom gives us a great end of this scripture. But, how many like the word but? Yeah, what it means is what you just read is not the intent of the verse. It's a disjunctive conjunction, and it means everything you just read, while it sets up for it, the real meat of it is in the second part. When the desire is granted, there's a tree of life. You know, the tree of life is the first tree in the Garden of Eden. It is God's desire for us to have what? Long, healthy, productive, blessed life. And so he says here, the desire, which means desire, wish, to incline and to desire, it is a tree of life when it's granted. Who holds the grant in his hand? God does. I mean, you can go try to get it yourself, but it doesn't usually work that way. And the word tree, it's figurative of a source of life and happiness. Personally, what I see in it is the cross, the wood from the cross. That's where your happiness comes from. That's where your fulfillment will come from. Because that's where the blood was shed. That is exactly. And it says the life, this word means age or life, as welfare and happiness, physical and spiritual knowledge and blessedness. Now, when you saw that picture of that young girl, she looked like she might have been 17 or 16, okay? We just went through Advent season, the birth of Jesus Christ, the single greatest birth that history has ever known. How many of you know that Mary was probably 12 or 13? She might have said the same thing. Oh, gosh, what are people going to think? And then there's Joseph, who, again, I think is probably the finest man in the Bible other than Jesus. He could have thrown her away. He could have publicly humiliated her because he didn't understand it. She didn't understand it. There was no physical reason, no explanation for a pregnancy that does not come the natural way of God's order. How many are glad the angel visited them? How many are glad they listened? They didn't let the circumstance dictate their life. I always tell the Lord, you know, God, I figure I know nothing, but you know everything, so together we know something. And I'm trusting you to give the wisdom on stuff. I don't know. Mary, the Bible said she hid the things in her heart, remember? She put it inside, she tucked it inside. But she could have easily been one of these gals. There's no question about it. And that was a tougher crowd, you know, even back then. But she lets life come through. And the seed of the woman brings eternal life to us. And that life not only brought him life, but it brought us life because of the cross. You've heard the story if somebody says, aren't you glad your mother didn't abort you? Well, yeah, here we are. I'm glad Jesus, his mother, and Joseph listened to God's message. When you kill the seed, whether it's human life or your spiritual life, and by the way, you can kill your spiritual life when you don't get the seed of the Word of God in you and keep it in you. You can die right on the vine. God cannot bring all of the wonderful things he wants to bring out. He wants to bring blessedness and happiness and victory. He wants to heal us from things we don't even know happened. We don't even remember. Because you know what they're called? To a degree, and I don't buy into all of it, but I do believe there are recessed memories. People cover them over because they're too painful. And they don't want to deal with them because they're painful. I mean, who purposely wants pain? I don't know anybody that does. So, here what you have in abortion is over 57 million lives that never grew up, that never paid into Social Security. And so the closer we get to it, as you know, there's not going to be any probably, because there was no lives invested into it. But how many also know that what the devil means for harm, God will make for good? That's the truth. And it's my prayer, continuing prayer, no matter what it is, you're talking about abortion or you're talking just about your own life and the seed that doesn't come forth, don't let it die. See, the seed of God is good seed, unless it's on what? Rocky place, or the thorns of the world, or the cares of this life. Then it doesn't get down in the meat of it. We got to get that stuff out of the way. But that's another sermon, so I won't hit you with that. How many know we need to pray for over 57 million families that have been decimated over the last so many years? In the context and the conversation of abortion, who suffers are the people that need prayer the most. And that's primarily the mothers. And so make sure we're praying and not accusing. That's really important. So I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Then we're going to sing a great hymn. I'm going to ask you, last Mother's Day, I asked a question of the ladies, had you ever lost a child? And many came up and we prayed, and I believe God did a lot of healing. Now you're here today and you've had an abortion, could have been many years ago. I hope that you have gone before the Lord and received your cleansing, because God doesn't want you to walk around as a grave and a burial place that hope is lost. God can restore hope, and he can restore life, and he can do everything if we put it in his hands. Last night as I was praying and thinking about seed being scattered, then the Lord said, hey, by the way, I'm the harvester, and I am the husbandman of the field. You put your seed in my hand. I'm going to distribute it. Don't be going around trying to make happen what you want to happen. You put it in my hands. That's where it will flourish. If you're here today, ladies, and you've had an abortion in your history, I'm not saying it and asking it to shame you at all. I want the Lord to heal and restore, so you know that God doesn't hold that against you when you come to him and put it in his hands. And I don't know, because these are not conversations that are normal conversation, but if you have and you're here, please raise your hand so I know to pray for you, because I don't want to have anybody have the enemy use it against you. And I can guarantee you that's exactly his intention. Do you know somebody in your life that's had an abortion? Make sure you put them on your prayer list every day. They really need God's help. There's a hole in their soul that they don't even know about, and they really need God to fill it with himself. Father, I thank you today, Lord Jesus, because we celebrate life in all of its forms, but mainly the form of godliness and the life that you're building in us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that, and I do pray for the hand that went up that, Lord Jesus, needs your touch and your healing. Lord, only you can do that, and we trust you for it. And we pray that you would just allow us not to know for gossip, but to know for prayer. Lord Jesus, any that were like that little girl. Oh, my ma's going to kill me. Yep, my ma's going to kill me. And they think God's going to kill them. Oh, Lord, you came to give life and that more abundantly. That's the message of the cross. And I pray that you would heal and restore and give us your wisdom to stand for truth, but also, Lord, to love people where they're at, because that's how you touched us. We didn't come perfect in your sight either. We're still not. And so we thank you and we praise you from earth's humble shores. Lord, be in charge of the seeds of our life. And for any, Lord, that are here that have prayer requests that haven't been answered and they're getting tired and they're getting weary, remind them, Lord, that you never, never forsake your own, and that your word will return as you intend it to. May not come the way we expect, but it'll be answered. And it'll be answered in your timing. Lord, for any, Lord, that have that hope deferred that has made them ill, that has made them spiritually and emotionally sick of heart, heal them, Lord, I pray. And just have your way in our life as we continue to follow you. We look forward to the growth and that seed coming alive in our hearts and in our lives to glorify Jesus Christ. Father, and we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the last song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow.
All fear is gone.
I'm going to ask Dave to take the handheld mic over to Norm, who had the great opportunity of late to give a benediction to his mother, half hour before she slipped into the arms of Christ. Norm, close us in prayer. Thank you.
Eternal Father, we thank you, Father, for the new life that you give your people through Jesus Christ, and the new life, Father, that you bring into the human family. Father, I pray that the family of believers would rise up and declare that it isn't our option to kill little babies. I thank you for the brave women throughout the ages who have stood against the temptation and being pushed by others who don't respect life to have abortions. And for those, Father, who have given in and had abortions, Father, that your great love and mercy brings forgiveness and healing. And we praise and glorify your holy name, Father. I thank you, Father, for this family of believers who have come together today to celebrate life. And that it becomes real to the hearts of your people. Amen.